interesting that the Apostle Paul begins with, "For our boasting is this." If you look at the previous paragraph, he says, verse 8, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble." So he speaks about our trouble, and then immediately following, he speaks about our boasting. And that word boasting is rejoicing, proud confidence. But wait a minute, do you remember what we read last week about what the Apostle Paul had endured? How many times he had been whipped, how many times he had been stoned. He was shipwrecked, he was starving, hungry. And yet he says, we've learned to abound, we've learned to be abased. He says, in our trouble, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about our trouble. I want you to know what's going on with us. But in that, I want you to know this is our boasting. This is our rejoicing. This is our proud confidence. Even in the context of all this extreme trouble and hardship that we're having to face, this is our boasting. This is our proud confidence. Now, Homer Kent says this is a justifiable glorying regarding what God has been accomplishing through them. You see, this kind of boasting, this kind of glorying would be unseemly if it was mere bragging about his own accomplishments. But, in fact, this is a proper testifying to the trustworthiness of God. Even in all the severe hardships that he had been experienced, he now comes right down to the point. He says, even in all that, God is trustworthy. Amen. God is good. There's never a time that God is not good. Do you see the simple focus of a man on mission? That is the idea of this simplicity and sincerity. You see, what is the context here is Paul is speaking about comfort in a troubled world. And the comfort of which we speak, of which he speaks here, is not the normal lifestyle, all the comforts of life, warm feeling kind of comfort. It is comfortis. God comes alongside, God calls us alongside, and he grants us confident courage, persevering so that we're persevering with praise, even in the context of a troubled world. Confident courage, persevering with praise. That is a God thing, and it is a God thing in God's people. He is the God of all comfort. What is the context in which Paul writes this? The pagan hostilities. The riots in Ephesus and in Asia. How many times was he whipped and stoned? And yet in all of that, he finds comfort. Confident courage, persevering with praise. Not only was it the pagan hostilities, but probably what hurt him more than anything was that coming from within the church that he established, there were people misrepresenting him. And that hurt him deeply. And so he writes to them, he says, verse 12, "Our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly towards you." No, we conducted ourselves in simplicity and sincerity. Let's look at these two words. Simplicity. The word means without ulterior motive. Without ulterior motive. It means wholeheartedly. Not an divided heart, not half-heartedly. He's not got divided loyalties. He's not got, he doesn't present himself one way, but he means another thing. No, he is all in. He's all in for them. They were accusing Paul of, with the letters that he wrote them, they were saying, you know, his words say this, but if you read between the lines, you get down to what he really means and what he really wants. And they were accusing him of being self-centered. They were accusing him of having ulterior motives. And he said, no, we conducted ourselves in simplicity and sincerity. And the word simplicity is without ulterior motive, wholehearted. He says, we are open. We are wide open to you. And it's a spirit of generosity. We are giving ourselves to you with that open-heartedness, that wholeheartedness. So we have here in this word simplicity a genuine sense of purpose. This is who I am. This is what I'm about, period. That's it. What you see is what you got. That's a good thing, isn't it? So we have a very real sense of purpose here instead of some kind of a divided message or a divided loyalty that's going on here. But then there's the word sincerity, not only simplicity, but godly sincerity. And this word actually means tested by the light of the sun. It means something that is completely pure. It is spotless. It's a sense of integrity. There's character going on here. And these are the words that Paul uses. He says, this is how we came to you, simplicity and sincerity. Let me bring all this down to a statement. What does he mean by this simplicity and sincerity? It just simply means this, that Paul was undistracted in his ambition of Godward movement. Undistracted in his ambition of Godward movement. Now think about it. Simplicity and sincerity, this is how we find the comfort of God, comfort in a troubled world. Comfort. Confident courage, persevering with praise. This is how we find this in a troubled world, through simplicity and sincerity, meaning that I am undistracted in my ambition of Godward movement. Now stop and think about it for a moment. What are all the things? Think of all the things that can distract you from your Godward movement. They are myriad. In the course of the day, in the course of the week, the things that can distract you, that can pull you away, that can lure you away from your finding your purpose and your satisfaction in God and becoming more like Christ. Because that's His objective for you and me, is it not? Is to mold us into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What are the things that can pull me away from that? They are so many. They can be things of pleasure and prosperity, or it can be issues of pain and adversity. All of them can be distractions away from what God has for me. You see, we need to start with why. What do you mean by that, Ridge? Any project, to measure success, you have to start with why. And here's what's the why of your existence? Why are you here? You cannot measure any kind of success in your life if you do not begin with the question, why are you here? It's not a deep philosophical question. It is a basic question of existence. Why are you here? If you can't answer that, it is not possible for you to have a successful life. Was it not the Lord Jesus who said, what does it profit a man if he does what? Gains the whole world and yet loses his soul. You could be the richest person on earth, and if you lose your soul, you have failed. You've lost it all. You've lost everything that counts. Think about that. So what are the things in the course of the day, in the course of the week, that can distract me, that can pull me away, pull my attention away from my movement towards the one who made me and made me for himself and in whom I find my absolute and ultimate satisfaction? It's a worthy thought process, isn't it? And Paul is saying here, in simplicity and sincerity, he is saying, and my paraphrase, we are undistracted in our ambition of Godward movement. Murray Harris puts it this way, it is a God-given purity of intention and openness governed by the grace of God. That's what he thinks Paul means by simplicity and sincerity. A God-given purity of intention and openness governed by the grace of God. Now what we have here is two things in conflict. My Godward movement and that which tries to pull me away from my Godward movement. And if I think that there is some other objective to my life other than finding my satisfaction in God and becoming like Jesus Christ, then let's call that self-advancement. Speaking strictly in human terms. And if I think my ultimate end is all built on my own self-advancement, then what I'm doing is I am marginalizing my Godward movement or even neglecting it. And those two things are at odds. What are the messages that come at us day in and day out that tell me it's all about me? You see, my Godward movement helps me understand that there is an objective. Paul speaks of the end. Look at the end of verse 13. Now I trust you will understand even to the end. There is an objective coming. And he speaks of the same thing is in the day of the Lord Jesus. That day when I am face to face with my Creator Redeemer. Toward that end, I am guided by His character and His purpose. That is simplicity and sincerity. Godward movement. If that's not it, then I am engaging in what he calls fleshly wisdom in verse 12. Not with fleshly wisdom, but with the grace of God. Fleshly wisdom is guided by self-interest or expediency. Self-interest or expediency. Expediency meaning I'm going to take the easy route. At least what I think is the easy route. The path of least resistance. And oftentimes that is not the best path to take. But my flesh is concerned and consumed with only one thing. And that's the survival of myself. And sometimes that is at odds with my Godward movement. So as we see these two things in conflict with each other, and they were with Paul, because think of all the hardship that he had to endure. Again, the riots, the whippings, the stonings, jail time, tremendous jail ministry as an inmate. And yet none of that was a distraction to him from his own Godward movement. If we do allow these things to become a distraction for us and pull us away and we move towards self-advancement, then we need to understand that this self-advancement comes in many forms. Again, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? These things will be manifested in two ways, what you pursue and what you protect. Okay? Whether you are pursuing Godward movement or self-advancement is betrayed in what you pursue and what you protect. What you're pursuing might be something that is distracting you from your call and your satisfaction in God. All the messages that surround you on a daily basis are telling you, and in fact, you were born believing this truth. You were born thinking this to be true. What? That it's all about you. Every child is born with that problem. No exceptions. And that's why God gave children moms and dads to teach them, and it ain't so. And when a child grows up not learning that it's not all about them, then we have a fool on our hands. There's a lot of fools walking around today. I don't mean that meanly. I'm speaking strictly in biblical terms. It's not about you. And your children need to know that. We need to know that. I need to know that. Because there are messages in me and around me that keep wanting me to believe that it is about me. Paul is saying very clearly, it's not about me. And with that simplicity and sincerity, he moves forward. Therefore, all the hardships that he faces do not distract him away from his Godward movement. You see the simplicity there? It's a beautiful thing. So what is it? What is it that you are pursuing? The things that make it all about you? This is the accusation against Paul, by the way. They were accusing him that in his letters, in his authority that he was given, they're saying, Paul, you're making this all about you. You just want to lord it over us. He was an apostle. He was correcting them. This is very interesting. We have so many messages that teach us about, that want us to believe that it's all about me. We are inundated with that in our culture today. Our family watched a movie the other night. It's called, The Help. It's It's a good movie. One thing that we'll learn from that is that the destructive power of groupthink. And I was sitting talking with one of my daughters. We were reflecting on it, and she said, "You know, it makes me stop and wonder whether or not anything that I do is just a product of groupthink." It's a great assessment to make, loved ones, and I encourage you to do it. Okay? But here's something, there's a way that we've been drawn, we've been, in our culture, we've been so sucked into a particular way of living that it undermines this simplicity and sincerity of which the Apostle Paul speaks. Morris Berman wrote the book Spinning Straw into Gold. And he was interviewed by a reporter from The Atlantic, David Masiotra. And David asks him the question, why is American culture so addicted to speed, movement, action, and progress? And Berman says this, America is essentially about hustling. What he means by hustling is the surrender of everything to market forces and the sacrifice of life to consumer culture. The sacrifice of life to consumer culture. He says it's been around for 400 years. He says it's practically genetic in the U.S. by now. The programming is so deep and so much out of conscious awareness that very few Americans can break free of it. They're really sleepwalking through life, living out a narrative that is not their own making while thinking they are in the driver's seat. It is also especially hard to break free of that mesmerization when everyone else is similarly hypnotized. Groupthink, and by the way, this was all prepared before we even had this discussion about groupthink. But anyway, here you go. Groupthink is enormously powerful. Even if it occurs to you to stop following the herd, it seems crazy or terrifying to attempt it. That is Sartre's bad faith, the phenomenon whereby a human being adopts false values because of social pressure and is thus living a charade, an inauthentic life. It's also what happens to Ivan Illich in Tolstoy's story when Ivan is dying and reviews his life during his last 3 days and concludes that it was all a waste because he lived only for social approval. It becomes very clear through the biblical record that the Apostle Paul did not live for social approval, not even Christian social approval. Isn't that liberating? Because we can so easily become sucked into a rat race. You know what the problem with that is? At the end of the race, you're still a rat. For so many, the high cost of living is more like the cost of high living. But that's the American way, isn't it? And it robs us of this simplicity of which the apostle speaks. John Stott said this, comfort is dangerous. Now that's a good line to discuss, isn't it? Comfort is, what he means by comfort is not the parakaleo that we have here in 2 Corinthians 1. What he means by comfort is normal life, every day everything is comfortable and normal and everything's going my way. Okay? Comfort is dangerous. Now, take that home and discuss it. Why is comfort dangerous? We should constantly be re-examining our lifestyle. The New Testament is beautifully balanced on this. This is what John Stott says. Paul avoids both extremes. Asceticism is where you go off and you live all by yourself, nobody around you, nothing around you, you have nothing, and you just you hum all day long and try to find yourself and God. Okay? Asceticism is a rejection of the good gifts of the good Creator. A rejection of the good gifts of the good Creator. Its opposite is materialism. Not just possessing material things, but becoming preoccupied with them. Did you know that the more you have, the more you have to maintain? I just thought I'd throw that in there. Think about that. John Stott concludes by saying this, in between asceticism and materialism is simplicity, contentment, and generosity. These three virtues should mark all of us. Simplicity, contentment, generosity. These three virtues should mark all of us. This is why Paul says this is our boasting. Simplicity and godly sincerity. Our singular ambition is Godward movement. He says, I have learned how to abound. I've lived in prosperity. I've been treated well. And you've given many gifts. But he says, I've also learned to be abased. I have learned to live in poverty. But neither of those have distracted me away from my mission. Because it's not about those things. The simplicity, the sincerity of being undistracted from your Godward movement. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? He says, I have a singular ambition of Godward movement, ours and yours, Paul says to the church. Now, the other warning comes in not only the things that we pursue, but the things that we protect. Because you remember that the Apostle Paul was charged. People were bringing accusations against him. What are the things that we are going to protect? As a follower of Christ, you will be misunderstood and misrepresented. Mark it down. As a follower of Christ, you will be misunderstood and misrepresented. So here's the question that you need to ask. Am I going to guard my Godward movement or am I going to guard my self-advancement? Because sometimes the two are at odds with each other. And you won't be able to do both at the same time. So what are you going to protect? Which one? Let me read you right out of the headlines something that will illustrate this. Sweet Cakes by Melissa is a company, a bakery company. They have a web page and they posted a message on their website, on their Facebook page, alerting customers that their Gresham, Oregon store will be shut down after months of harassment. Last January, Aaron and Melissa Klein, the operators, owners of that store, made national headlines when they refused to bake a wedding cake for a lesbian couple. I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, he said. I don't want to help somebody celebrate a commitment to a lifetime of sin. They weren't being ugly. They weren't being hostile. They were being faithful to what they believe. They were being faithful to what the infinite sovereign God of the universe has revealed and what his character and purpose is. Now, remember what this says. As a follower of Christ, you will be misunderstood. You will be misrepresented. Make sure it's not because of your own bad character, but make sure it is because you are a follower of Christ. There was no ugliness here on their part. We recognize that they are made in God's image, and God loves them, and Jesus died for them. There was no argument there at all. The lesbian couple filed a discrimination suit with the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries and told their story to local media. Within days, militant groups launched protests and boycotts. Klein told me he received messages threatening to kill his family. They hoped his children would die. The LGBT protesters turned on their wedding, on other wedding vendors around the community. That tipped the scales, Klein said. The activists inundated other vendors with phone calls and threatened them. They would tell the vendors, if you don't stop doing business with Sweet Cakes by Melissa, we will shut you down. They killed our business through mob tactics. Klein said the closing of their retail store was a small price to pay. Let's think through this, okay? In the context of that news story, because that is a story of trouble, isn't it? It's a story of trouble. Comfort in a troubled world. How do we find such comfort? What is that comfort? Confident courage, persevering with praise in a troubled world. Think through that now. The simplicity, the sincerity. Are they going to allow this trouble to distract them away from their Godward movement? What they did was, is they practiced actions that were consistent with their belief. Because when you don't do that, if you say you believe something and then you practice something, you take a course of action that is contrary to that belief system, then what you have is what is called cognitive dissonance. You've got something pounding in your head that's not right. Because you believe this, but you've taken this course of action. Now, with their simplicity and sincerity, their actions were according to their belief. And in that, they find comfort. Homer Kent says this, when Christians are enlightened by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and then walk in full harmony with that knowledge, their consciences will approve their actions. It's a good statement, isn't it? Their consciences will approve their actions. Therein, with that simplicity and sincerity, we find comfort. You see, for the Kleins, Sweet Cakes by Melissa, for them, the store wasn't something to be grasped. In other words, they didn't have to hang on to it at all cost, even if it meant sacrificing their Godward movement. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Klein says this, as a man of faith, I am in good spirits. I'm happy to be serving the Lord. And then he quoted this verse on his Facebook page, Proverbs 28:6. Better is a poor man who walks in integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. Simplicity and sincerity. To them, Godward movement was more important than self-advancement. You know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer is. When he was almost hearing the stomping of the Gestapo boots to take him away and execute him, he wondered on paper what kind of people the church was going to need most when the last bomb had exploded and the last person had been killed. And then he wrote this, what the church will need, what our century will need, are not people of genius, not brilliant tacticians or strategists, but simple, straightforward, honest men and women. Simple, straightforward, honest men and women. Simplicity and sincerity. We live in a troubled world, and it is increasingly more troubling. And we have yet to face the troubles that many of our brothers and sisters around the world have to face. You will be misunderstood, you will be misrepresented, but in that, you can find comfort, the confident courage in order to persevere with praise, because God is the God of all comfort. If you are going to find that comfort in this troubled world, three things we've looked at so far from 2 Corinthians 1. You have to have a right understanding of God. You need to know who God is. He is the God of all comfort. And remember, he's not speaking about the everything's going my way kind of comfort. He means confident courage, persevering with praise. You have to have the right understanding of God. Secondly, that God needs to be the object of your trust. Not yourself, not your intelligence, not your savvy, not your brilliance. That God needs to be the object of your trust. And thirdly, is today, the simplicity and the sincerity, that you be undistracted in your ambition of Godward movement. Undistracted in your Godward movement. You add those three up, you will find comfort. You will find the confident courage to persevere with praise. because he is the God of all comfort.